I wish I could sing the lyrics to this song. This was my jam. Sports Radio 929 Game. 901, welcome to the final hour. Timeout with Eric Slaughter. I'm here till 10 o'clock. After that, we'll turn it over to the brand new Westwood One Sports Network. It will take you to tomorrow. I believe part of the morning shift is back in the morning. I don't think everybody's back. But, of course, we'll have a great Friday of coverage. They'll recap, you know, what we're seeing here tonight as we are now in the second quarter of the All-State Sugar Bowl, and Georgia now has a one-point lead over Ole Miss, 7-6. Early in the second quarter, the Dogs finally got into the end zone as Gunnar Stockton called his own number, tucked it and ran from about 8 or 9 yards out, and Georgia's on the board. But Mississippi, Ole Miss is moving the ball again. The Ole Miss offense is legit, okay? There's no ifs, ands, or buts about that. Trinidad Chambliss, the young quarterback from Division II Ferris State, had zero Division I offers coming out of high school. He's not a big guy. He's small. He's quick, fast, and he's small, but he can sling that ball. Him and Gunnar Stockton are about the same size. Neither one of them are very big guys. But he can definitely sling that ball. And the Georgia defense, I mean, they've held him to 6 points so far, but we need a I don't think they've held on, except for the first drive of the game, they haven't punted much. And right now they're moving the ball again. So we'll see if Georgia can keep them off the board, get the ball back, and improve on their one-point lead. So the guys will talk all about that tomorrow, and they'll break it down, and hopefully the Dogs will be advanced and headed towards the semifinals. They'll be, if Georgia advances, they'll be headed to the desert, Phoenix, Arizona, to play in the Verbo Fiesta Bowl. Verbo is the sponsor of the Fiesta Bowl. I mean, what happened to Tostitos? I mean, Tostitos just kind of, you know, sounded right for the Fiesta Bowl. You know,
it did.
I mean, if it's not Tostitos, maybe it should be the Pace, you know, the salsa Fiesta
like
Bowl.
That. Yeah, you know, something along La Pradella. Exactly.
What's your favorite Mexican restaurant, Dom?
Ooh, my favorite Mexican restaurant. That's a fantastic question. I do like La Pradella. I've been to La Pradella.
I mean, even Chipotle. The Chipotle Fiesta Bowl.
Chipotle,
you know what I'm saying? What is Verbo?
Taco Bell Fiesta Bowl.
But doesn't Taco Bell have a bowl?
Do they have a bowl game?
I thought they did. I mean, everybody has a bowl game. I mean, Pop-Tarts. Pop-Tarts has a bowl game. Cheez-It, of course, has a bowl game. Meineke has a bowl game. Of course, Sheraton has a bowl. I can't believe Marriott doesn't have a bowl game. You know, so
Taco Bell does not have a
they bowl don't have
game.
A bowl. Oh, yeah, so the Taco Bell Fiesta Bowl.
That makes a ton of sense, actually.
But Verbo?
Verbo makes no sense whatsoever.
No, I didn't even know Verbo. I mean, isn't what's the Airbnb is bigger than Verbo, right?
Yeah.
They have a bowl game? And the Airbnb,
I don't know.
That should be one of the ones at a straight destination. The Airbnb Bahamas Bowl, the Airbnb Hawaii Bowl,
exactly.
The Airbnb wherever it can't be the Airbnb Boston Bowl or something.
I can't believe they
played at bowl. I mean, think about it like this: if you are a college athlete and they came to you and said, "Congratulations, you're on your way to Fenway Stadium, Fenway Park, whatever they call it, to play in the Boston Bowl." And it's going to be 5 degrees outside. Do you get real excited about that?
Nope.
No. I mean, if I'm not,
I'll forgo that. I'm going to go ahead and start training for the NFL.
Yeah, coach. I mean, how many years has it been 10 years? And Ole Miss just scored. Has it been 10 years now that kids have been opting out to play, not playing the bowl games?
Yeah.
I mean, if I'm not going to the college football playoff, send me to the Hawaii Bowl, the Bahamas Bowl, or at least the Orange Bowl, where I can go to South Beach in Miami. Okay.
You mentioned it earlier. I love the Pop-Tart Bowl. That is the one bowl that I'm definitely going to.
In Orlando?
Absolutely. I don't even care about where it is. The Pop-Tart Bowl just is so much fun. All of the spectacle around it, them sacrificing the Pop-Tarts in the big toaster at the end, and then it pushes out a huge, like, life human-sized Pop-Tart that everyone eats and all that. Okay. It's fun. I like the festivities and stuff around it.
Unfortunately, Georgia Tech didn't have a good day. They were up, like the whole game, and then BYU came back and beat them? What the magical year that – I mean, you know what? We can add them to this list. of the teams that didn't have a great 2025.
Yeah.
Because Georgia Tech, we thought this
they
was going to be
the year.
They look
good for the majority of it. They look good for the majority of it.
8-0, 9-0, something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Georgia Tech's 2025 just went zoop, 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 zoop.
Well, wasn't it the game against NC State?
That was when they lost their first game. Yep. And I don't think
kind
they won anything.
There.
Yeah, I don't think they won much after that. They lost to Georgia. They lost in the – well, they didn't make the ACC championship game, which we thought they were a shoe-in for. Lost to – didn't they lose to like a really bad Boston College or Pitt team or one of those teams just embarrassed them? And yeah, Georgia embarrassed them, and now they lose the Pop-Tarts Bowl. The Pop-Tarts Bowl. What would you like it frosted or unfrosted?
Frosted. If you're unless you're like someone who maybe is like you know diabetic or something like that. Like
what, okay. If you're gonna have a Pop-Tart, might as well be frosted.
Yeah.
Right?
What are we doing here? What are we doing?
I like a traditional, just regular blueberry. I remember when Pop-Tarts didn't have frosting. So,
Oh, okay. Back then.
All right. Last question. Toasted or untoasted?
Toasted. Because you know what it is? I do them like I do cookies. I like them warm, and then I dip them in milk.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting. I can take a Pop-Tart right out the package.
Oh, no. Don't get me wrong. I can tear up a Pop-Tart straight out the package, but ideally...
warm.
Put it in the toaster for about a minute and a half.
And a cold glass of milk?
Cold glass of milk, yep.
And you're a happy man, huh?
Absolutely. Okay. What's your favorite flavor?
Blueberry. I can do blueberry or strawberry. I do not need frosted.
Okay. I like blueberry. I actually do like the cherry ones. I like some of the other kind of like out there flavors. Like they got
apple
like
strudel and all that stuff.
I will say the hot fudge crunch. Sundae one is not bad.
I didn't know they did that.
They do have a hot fudge sundae, which is a little extra, but it's not bad.
They got a cookies and cream?
Yes, actually.
I'll put that on my to-do list. Cookies and cream Pop-Tarts.
See, this is what we got to do. We got to go to Magic City, and then we got to go to Publix to get you all the Pop-Tart flavors and stuff.
All right. Well, if we're going to go to Magic City, and I'm well over 21. I can promote that if I need to. One of us, and it might be me, is going to have to tab to pay, because if anyone doesn't know, Dom and I have a year in and year out, usually a lunch bet.
Yep.
And I mean, with the price of Chick-fil-A nowadays, for the first 4 years, it's been Chick-fil-A.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I mean, Chick-fil-A is almost your whole paycheck nowadays. And I still am a loyal customer.
I still get it every time.
Oh,
yep,
my God.
Every time.
Oh, my God. But this Sunday night, and Dom, I meant to look this up, but it feels like, over the last 5, 6, 7 years, this is at least the fourth or fifth time that the Ravens and Steelers have been the Sunday night game.
Yeah.
The last game of the year.
I feel like this is like the third time in the past 5 years where this
Easy.
Specific game has been this, flexed this to Sunday the Sunday night game.
Yes.
Because it's a game that's going to
determine
the
division. Yes.
Yeah.
And here we are again. This Sunday night. Okay. Now there are a whole – this the NFL is loving this because I think – and you can correct me if I'm wrong – of the 14 teams that will qualify for the playoffs, only one of the 14 know what their seeding will be right now. The Green Bay Packers know they are the 7 seed.
Yeah, it's a lot of stuff that's just up
can
in
be,
the air.
Right.
Yeah.
Of the other than, let's take a look. Let's take a look at the NFL standings, okay? But once again, and you can hear that game here on Sports Radio 99 The Game this Sunday if you enjoy listening to NFL play-by-play. We are the home of the NFL play-by-play in this town. Sunday night in Pittsburgh, the Ravens and the Steelers play a win or go home. This is the playoff game because whoever wins the division and are the 4 seed in the AFC. Whoever loses, they're going to Cancun, Jamaica. Right, I mean, that's who was it? They said they was running down their fields. Said, go to Cancun
on 3.
Cancun on 3. Right. So, looking at the standings, let's look at the conference standings in both the AFC and NFC. So, the Broncos and/or Patriots could finish number one. Heck, the Jaguars could finish number one because they all have 12 or 13 wins. The Texans and the Chargers and the Bills all have 11 wins, so they all could trade places. So in the AFC, no team knows where they're going to finish in the seedings, except for the fact that we know either Pittsburgh or Baltimore will be the 4 seed. But all of those teams could move up or down depending on what they do on Sunday and or Saturday, because we'll have 2 games on Saturday as well. Those games will be on WLK Carolina and Tampa Bay, Seattle and San Fran. The Seattle-San Fran winner, so that's in the AFC. Once again, Denver and New England currently both have 13 wins. So I think if they both win, I think Denver beat them head-to-head. I'm not 100% sure. But Denver's currently number one. But if Denver loses, New England wins, New England could be number one. Jacksonville could be number one or number two. I mean, just all kinds of things that still could be determined in that. Who had the Jaguars winning 12 or 13 games? I had them winning the division. When we did, me and Chris Terrell Thomas did a division winner segment back in August, I picked the Jaguars because at the time I thought their drafting of Hunter.
Yeah, Travis Hunter.
Travis Hunter was going to make the major difference, and he's not even playing. But I had Travis Hunter being a Rookie of the Year candidate on offense and defense, and Trevor Lawrence having that new weapon, getting the Jaguars into the playoffs. I had them winning the division, which they are going to do. At least I think they will, because if they finish 12-5 and the Texans win their 12th game, I mean, good God almighty, a lot of things can still be determined. A lot of things can still be determined. We know that the Bills and the Chargers are in the playoffs, but they can't win a division, but they can finish with the same record. They could lose. I mean, all those spots, I think all those spots could change still for in the AFC. In the NFC. Okay, so I guess we do know. No, we don't know, because the winner of San Fran Seattle is the number one team. Right now, Seattle sits at number one at 13-3, but they play San Fran on Saturday night in San Fran. The winner of that game goes to number one. So number one is still up in the air. Both the Bears and the Eagles are 11-5. So number two and number three still to be determined. Carolina, so we do know, so it's the same in both the AFC and the NFC, which either team wins between that division, that one division where the winner's only going to have 8 or 9 wins, will be the 4 seed. In the wild card, San Fran or Seattle will be wild card or division winner. The Rams have 11 wins, could finish with 12, could move up or down. We all know the only one that's determined, we know right now, is that Green Bay will be the 7th seed. That's why Jordan Love, who has been cleared from concussion protocol, is not going to play. Why should I? We cannot improve our seeding. We can't go worse. We're in. We are the 7th seed. We're either going to Seattle or San Francisco. Actually, no, they get a bye. So they're going to the 2 seed, which could be Philly or Chicago. They know that's what it is. Green Bay is the 7 seed. They're the only team that is determined. So this is a big weekend for NFL football. All these scenarios. Once again, the Broncos or the Patriots could be the number 1 seed. The winner of San Fran versus Seattle is the 1 seed. The loser is the 5 seed or the 6 seed. Who knows? The winner of Carolina, Tampa Bay, we think, is the division champion. Why? Because we don't know, because it could come down to what the Falcons do. If the Bucs, that's crazy, dumb. If the Bucs beat the Panthers tomorrow, the Bucs then have to turn around and cheer for the Saints. The Bucs do not control their own destiny. If Carolina wins, it's over. They're the champs. But if the Bucs win, the Bucs then have to turn around and cheer for the Falcons against the Saints on Sunday. That is crazy. The Falcons, if they win out, give the division to the Panthers, no matter what. But the Bucs could win the game tomorrow, I mean, not tomorrow, but Saturday, and still not be crowned champions. Completely insane. The NFL is just the biggest thing there is, and there's so much still to be determined this weekend with all these games to be played. All right, let's take our last time out. We'll come back. I'll update you because Georgia is on the knocking on the door to scoring again. So I'll let you know what happens when we come back from the break. 404-726-0929. Timeout with Eric Slaughter on New Year's night. Having 21, if they can get this extra point, and they will be well ahead going into the locker room anyway. There's still one more drive probably for Ole Miss, but a defensive score now for the Dogs. Has them up 20-12 with a PAT attempt to come. The Dogs were a 7.5-point favorite coming into this game. They won the regular season matchup. They won 43-35. So they won by 8 in the regular season. So pretty much they thought this game was going to be pretty much around the same type of flow. And so far it is. Ole Miss is definitely a quality candidate. You cannot take anything away from the Rebels. They've got good quarterback play. They've got a great set of skill position guys. Their running back, Lacey, is a beast. Powerful, speedy, shifty. Going to be a definite player on the next level. I doubt their quarterback, Trinidad Chambliss, is going to be on anybody's NFL radar, you know, map. He's just too small. But they definitely are a good team, and the Dogs will have to have one of their good second-half performances if they want to finish out this game and bring home this Sugar Bowl championship and advance to the semifinals. And that game will end probably, you know, I'm done here in about just over 30 minutes. So halftime of these college football games are kind of like the Super Bowl. They take a while. So
it's because they got everybody doing all types of halftime shows now, like it's a mini Super Bowl.
Yeah,
that's
I didn't see Snoop. I need to go back on YouTube and watch Snoop's. I saw him try to catch that punt. Did you see that?
He did catch it. That was a clean catch.
Yeah, well, no, it bobbled.
Yeah,
it wasn't clean. It bobbled.
That was a clean catch. We'll call it a catch.
It did not hit the ground, so it would have counted.
Yes.
But wasn't nothing clean
that's
about
of,
it.
Hey, listen, that's all nothing that matters. Nothing clean it about counted. It.
Yeah, I mean, in the middle of an interview, he saw the ball cut. That's pretty cool. I mean, Snoop has his own bowl. Snoop has, and then you know, they said something about all the money goes to charity. Look at Snoop being the philanthropist.
Absolutely.
I can never say that word.
Philanthropist.
Philanthropist. Thank
you. Yeah, that's a tough one.
Yeah. I say it three times fast. Right. Yeah. Snoop, the Snoop Dogg Bowl in Arizona. They probably played where they don't play that game at State Farm Stadium or whatever it's called, Glendale. They play that game probably at Arizona State's Tempe Stadium. So that was pretty cool. They're still bowl. Why? Why? Are there three bowl games tomorrow? The day after the playoffs. Who cares that there are three more bowl games tomorrow?
Yeah,
that makes no sense.
They do, every time that happens, I'm just like, we couldn't have just
somehow got these games in. Yeah,
the past day or two. Like, there's no other way we could have. Come on now.
Yeah. No, there are three. Let's see. Let's take a look. Let's take a look at the three who cares bowls that are playing tomorrow. This is a good one. The Lockheed Martin Armed Forces Bowl. Now, that kind of has a meaning to me because my mother retired from Lockheed Martin Armed Forces. My mother was a government contractor. They'll play that bowl in Fort Worth, Texas at 1 o'clock as Rice will play Texas State. Two teams from the state of Texas. Neither one of them had far to go in the Lockheed Martin Nobody Cares Bowl. Okay. In the AutoZone Liberty Bowl in Nashville, in Memphis, I'm sorry, at Liberty Stadium, Navy plays Cincinnati. 4:30, great, ESPN again. And in the Duke's Mayo Bowl, actually, are there four games tomorrow? There are four games tomorrow. The Duke's Mayo Bowl in Charlotte at the Bank of America Stadium the night before. The Panthers will play the Bucks. Is the Panthers-Bucks game, is that in Charlotte? Let's see. On Saturday, you can hear that game. No, it's in Tampa. So that's going to happen. Watch, Tampa's going to win at home. Tampa's going to win at home. And then the Falcons are going to beat the Saints, and the Falcons are going to give the division to the Panthers. I can see that. I can see that happening. The Bucs will win home and still not win the division because of the tiebreakers. That's just going to happen. But so in Bank of America, saying Wake Forest will take on Mississippi State, ACC versus SEC in the Duke's Mayo Bowl. I've never had Duke's Mayo. I'm not a Mayo guy. First off, okay.
Mayo's all right. I like it on sandwiches. Okay, stuff. But it has its place.
Do you drink Duke's or Hellman's or? Heinz makes mayo.
I was gonna say I'm not that big of a mayo eater that like I have
a brand
like yep. Hellman's, Duke's, whichever. It's fine.
The white creamy stuff just put on my sandwich.
Yeah, okay. I was gonna say it's fine for me. Now I'm kind of that way when it comes to ketchup. Like, don't hand me anything other than a bottle of Heinz. Yes,
really.
Yeah, don't give me that Hunt's garbage. No,
it's runny, isn't it?
It's disgusting. Yeah. It's terrible. It's an abomination.
I don't even know. Is there any other companies that make ketchup? No.
I don't know. All I know is Heinz.
Heinz. There it is. I like Heinz 57. And then in the Trust and Will Holiday Bowl. So, I mean, is Trust and Will a company? Or, I mean, you get your estate planning done? Trust and Will Holiday Bowl, Arizona and SMU. Those are actually two decent teams playing in the game out in San Diego. Now, that would be a decent place to go for a bowl game.
Yeah, San Diego's not bad.
If I can't be in the college football playoffs and I can't go to the Bahamas, Hawaii, or South Beach, I'll take San Diego.
Yeah, it's not bad.
All right, nice, warm, pretty women, pretty cool. All right, so those are your four bowl games tomorrow that nobody cares about, okay? Nobody. I wonder if there's anybody out there who takes the, what's it called? The Fantasy Bowl Challenge, where you can pick all 39,000 bowl games correctly.
Oh, really?
And win $1 million.
Eh.
It's like,
why not?
What would be easier, picking all the bowl games or having a perfect bracket in NCAA tournament? What would be easier?
Bowl games. Bowl games, I think. Picking bowl games would be a lot easier.
Because a lot of them are lopsided?
Yeah, then a perfect bracket is just so
impossible.
Hard.
Impossible.
It's impossible.
It'd probably be easier. Who won the $1.75 billion lottery? Do we know what state that was from? You know? It'd probably be easier. It'd probably be easier to win that lottery.
I feel like it was someone in Arizona, but I could be wrong.
Than to pick all the bracket properly.
Yeah.
Somebody won $1.75 billion in lottery.
Must be nice.
Man, I guess you gotta be in it to win it. Do you know what's funny? I have a scratch off ticket that I haven't even cashed in yet. I bought a $5 scratch off ticket. I won $15 and I haven't cashed in.
Hey man, go turn that in. You got some free lunch.
Something. Buy some. You know, go to the grocery store and get some vegetables or something. I'll probably go to the grocery store and cash in the ticket and just
grab it. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, but yeah, I bought a scratch off because I have a really good friend. Her name's Holly. Okay, Holly's the former Falcon Fan of the Year. Okay, and we talk all the time, and we'll text each other when the lottery gets really big, mm-hmm. and be like, "Hey, remind you to get your tickets." I never get my ticket, right? But she has this theory that the lottery winners only come from small towns.
Okay.
So she says if you ever find yourself in a small town, even if it's not $1.75 billion, but if you find yourself in a small town, just buy a lottery ticket because a lot of them come, you know. So I was in Statham, Georgia.
Okay.
That's right outside Athens. Okay. But it's Statham. Nope. Not many people know where Statham, Georgia is. I was like, okay, I'll buy me a ticket while I was here. So I bought a ticket and a scratch off. I didn't even check the ticket. I don't know. I could have $100,000 sitting in my pocket. But I did my scratch off. I paid $5 for the scratch off because they both were $5 and I won $15. I was happy. That means, regardless, I'm in the positive.
Yeah, I'm in the green.
Yeah, so I guess I need to check my lottery ticket. I don't know. I don't even know what it was at the time. I don't know. Just I'm like, I'm in Statham. And I actually had $10. I don't carry cash a lot. But you know, you can buy your lottery tickets with your debit card now.
Yeah.
That wasn't a deal back then. When my pops was playing,
mm-hmm.
you know, he would play that $1 straight, and 50 cents straight and 50 cent box. I knew what 50 cents straight and 50 cent box meant as a very young kid. He played the house number. I think it won one time in 30 years.
Hey, listen, hey, that one time, though,
Our house number was 214, okay? You know what 50 cents straight and 50 cent box means?
No.
Okay. So it was very simple. And it was a dollar, right? 50 cents straight means it had to be 214. 50 cent box means it could be any combination of three numbers. 142, 412, whatever it is.
Right,
He would go in with $1. That was big money, man. That's big money. $1.
Yeah, uh-huh.
And say, give me 50 cents straight and 50 cent box on 214, which was our house number. And for all the time I remember as a kid, it won once.
How much did he win that one time? Do you know?
So a $1 ticket would win $600. So it was $300 because it was only 50 cents.
Okay, $300. I mean,
but, you know,
30 years.
He's in the negative.
I was trying to do the quick math. I was like, I don't know how many tickets he bought a year.
He's definitely in the negative.
Maybe
it won more than once.
Yeah.
I just remember because he was happy that day. I think we ate steak and scrimp. We went to Red Lobster, got some steak and scrimp.
I bet.
I ain't never played a pick three, pick four, nothing in my life. Now I gamble.
Yeah.
Now I ain't gonna lie and say I don't gamble.
Uh-huh.
Blackjack and craps is my game. I'm actually on a winning streak in craps.
Oh really?
Yeah. Yeah. I've been going to the new one up in North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I've been doing good last couple times.
I'm partial to a little bit of Texas Hold'em, stuff like that.
Okay. Well, you can do that. Do you go to like any local restaurants that have Texas Hold'em for like gift cards and stuff like that?
I don't. I should do that. That actually sounds like so much fun. I should do that.
They're everywhere. I mean, I ain't gonna get no free pub, but I was at a bar a couple weeks ago, and then they say, "Yep, Monday night we play Texas Hold'em, and the number one prize is like $1,000 tab."
Oh, awesome!
I'm like, I could eat and drink for like 3 months.
Definitely do that
one. Yeah, you know, I mean, I think it's like $30-$40 to get in, but. And there's a tournament.
Yeah.
But, you know, first prize is 1,000, second prize is 500, and third prize is like 100. Tab.
Mm-hmm.
I'm eating all week. You know, I'm trying to lose weight, but I don't play. So, you know, you can go do that, you know. So, yeah. 50 cents straight, 50 cent box, 214. I'm going to go play that tomorrow. I don't think you can get a ticket for a dollar anymore. I really don't.
Can you get anything for a dollar anymore?
No, because even the dollar store is not a dollar anymore. Even the dollar store is not a dollar. Everything in the dollar store, everything in Dollar Tree is $1.25 or more now. Crazy. 50 cent straight, 50 cent box, $2.14. Let's go. Get my ticket, please. All right, we'll update the dogs one last time. We will set up the weekend of sports here in Atlanta, and then we will close this puppy out here on Time Out with Eric Slaughter here on New Year's night. Well, as we wrap it up here on tonight's edition of Time Out with Eric Slaughter, I am back tomorrow for a really short show. I got 6 to 7 as I will lead you into our Atlanta Hawks pregame coverage at 7 o'clock. The Hawks will be in New York City. Maybe Jay-Z will be in the building as the Hawks will take on the Knicks for a Friday night contest. They'll get right back on a plane, fly into Toronto after that, and they'll spend 3 days in Canada as they will play Toronto both on Saturday and Monday. They'll have a nice little trip. They'll come back next Wednesday, take on the Pelicans at home, and then they'll right back out on the road again as they'll go to play a jokerless Denver Nuggets team. Nikola Jokic is going to be out for like a month or a month and a half, I think I read somewhere, with his sprained knee, I think is what it is. So, I mean, I don't mind playing the Nuggets at home without Jokic, right? You know, we got to keep Jamal Murray from going off of 50 points because he definitely can do that. And who else they got? They got Aaron Gordon out there, right? He can go off on a decent night. So we'll see what happens. But the four of the next five, so you got New York, Toronto, at home versus NOLA, and then at Denver. So you have five games in the next week. So Friday to Friday, you got five games, four of them away from State Farm Arena. Now, that doesn't make much of a deal because pretty much the Hawks suck at State Farm Arena anyway. Yes, we won yesterday. We won a impressive game over the Minnesota Timberwolves. The Timberwolves, were they in the Western Conference Finals last year? One of the top teams in the West?
The Timberwolves?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, yeah. Ant-Man, Rudy Gobert, a couple other players. They got a really good squad. We looked really good yesterday. I mean, Nikhil Alexander-Walker.
Nar.
Balled out. He balled out. This dude can shoot, defend. Not a bad starting point guard, right? Right? If that's what he's going to be for the rest of the year, who knows? You know? Trey was out again, right? With his left or right quad contusion.
Yeah.
Okay? So he's injured right now. So Nas getting all the playing time he needs. We'll see what happens. Trading deadline, I mean, if you go on anybody's NBA blog, anybody who thinks they are an insider or any type of just knowledgeable NBA person, they all say this is it. This is the year that the Hawks will trade Trae Young at the trade deadline. Okay. The one I was listening to, Brian Windhorst? Does that say his name?
Windy,
yeah. He said that. Yes, the Hawks want to trade Trae Young. The problem is nobody wants to trade for him. Okay? What do you do? It's like having, you know, I got a whole bunch of stock that nobody wants to buy. I mean, I can't do nothing with it, right? You know? I mean, what did Bill Belichick say 20 years ago? Trade somebody a year too early instead of a year too late?
Yep.
Okay? Are we a year too late in trying to trade Trae Young? Was the time to try to trade him last year, the year before? When possibly we could have got a first rounder in return for him, possibly we could have got a first and a second or something like that. Now, the good thing about the Hawks is right now we're heavy on draft capital. Okay, we're going to have a top 10 pick, courtesy of the New Orleans Pelicans, maybe even top 3 pick. Who knows? So draft capital is not something that we need desperately. But if you're going to get rid of Trae Young, if you're going to trade Trae Young, you need a trade partner. And you cannot come out of this looking like you got took. You got had. You got bamboozled. You got run amok. Okay? You got conned. No, we got to come out of here looking like we know what we're doing. Now, Ansi Sulla has been a really good GM so far. Now, he couldn't predict that Kristaps Porzingis was going to come down with the, you know, unfortunate heart issue, and he's been diagnosed with POTS, and I know someone who has POTS. POTS is a tough condition to deal with, okay? You know anything about POTS, Dom?
Nope.
Okay, it's a heart condition where your heart rate will spike up really, really fast, okay? And when it does that, you get dizzy. I mean, just imagine that you get up out of the chair you're standing in right now, and you feel like you just was running a marathon because your heart will go boom, 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 really. I mean, all you did was stand up out of your chair, and your heart rate will skyrocket. What's that going to do? You naturally feel weak and dizzy. Well, I mean, this man needs to go out on the court and run up and down the court from his bench. And one of the major issues with POTS is as you stand up, you feel lightheaded and dizzy, and you immediately have to sit right back down. So if Quinn Snyder says, hey, Kristaps, go in the game, and he goes to stand up, all 7 feet, three of him, and he gets dizzy and wobbly, he's going to say, coach, I need a minute. And then he sits back down. And guess what? He got to stand up again. That's unfortunately one of the conditions of POTS. And one of my best friends has POTS and has dealt with it for many, many years. Now, after that initial dizziness goes away, they feel better and they can go on with the day. But you're in an NBA basketball game, you only got 48 minutes.
Yeah, right.
You know? So, I don't know. I mean, it's tough. But, I mean, that was his official diagnosis. And when I read that, I actually forwarded the article to my friend. It's like, look who has POTS in the NBA. It's just crazy. So, hopefully he can – did he play yesterday? Reports was that he was close to coming back.
No, I think he played.
You think he played? Come on, you was here, man. What are you doing, man?
I was not in here.
Oh, you wasn't?
No, Miles was coming for me. I had a rare holiday off for me.
Oh, okay. Well, New Year's Eve, like I said, was a holiday. Today is the holiday, sir. Yesterday actually was not the holiday. So,
true,
not a part of the Hawks Radio Network last night. So, yeah. So, Porzingis, we're going to wish him well. I mean, that's a great 2026 well wish that Kristaps Porzingis, you know, gets healthy and gets his condition under control and is able to be a contributor to this team as we go along. I mean, the Hawks are 16-19. That's 35 games. That's easy math. Morehouse education. He played in 13 games, and 14 would have been last night if he played.
He played last night.
Okay, so
he actually played pretty well. He had played 17 minutes, 16 points, 6 of 12 from the field, 2 of 4 from 3, 2 rebounds, 1 assist. He played well.
Absolutely. So he played 17 minutes and scored 16 points.
Yep.
That's almost a point a minute. So imagine if he gets it up to 30.
Okay? That's the thing that's been kind of an Achilles heel for the Hawks is like really their injuries this year, because when Kristaps is healthy, this team looks a lot different.
How can they not
have that size?
How can they not look different when you got that big mamma jamma in the middle? That behemoth in the middle. How can they not look different? How many times have I listened to Steve Holman, and I've done the Hawks Network a couple times this year, and he'll say, yep, they're driving right down the middle because we have an undersized but play his heart out on Onyeka Okongwu in the middle of our defense, okay? Onyeka Okongwu plays his heart out, and he gets everything he can out of 6'8", 6'9", whatever he is, which might be generous.
Yeah.
Okay?
6'7"?
Yeah. Like I said, might be generous. But he balls out of control when he's out there. He hits threes, he rebounds, he defends, but he's not 7 feet tall. He's just not 7 feet tall, and when you got guards in this league that are the same size as him, I mean, good God of mine.
Yeah, yeah, it's kind of rough.
Shai Gilgeous-Alexander put on a show against the Hawks the other night. Good God of mine. It's just ridiculous how good that dude is. And the Clippers are sitting in the mirror like, we really traded this guy away? Man, I tell you. It's tough when they go right down the lane and they get some, you know, defense, but It's not a deterrent down there like Kristaps Porzingis can be.
It's also the fact, like, I can't tell you how many times I've heard Steve Holman at some point this year while working games hear Steve say, Hawks can't get a rebound.
Yes.
I hear that all the time, and it's because we lack size. And a big part of that is because Porzingis is always hurt.
Yep. And the guys that we do have, the 6'11 Asa Newell, for what he is a stretch guy. So a lot of times he's out there, but he's around the three-point line because he's looking to shoot a three. Or Jalen Johnson, who's actually our leading rebounder, is up top because he's playing point forward. So it's tough when you don't have a big guy down low.
I say you got 6'11 Muhammad Gay who likes to shoot threes as well, too.
But that's also what this game is, right? We've got, I mean, this game, the NBA game, is positionless basketball. And a lot of the guys there are the biggest guys in the NBA want to shoot threes. We just were talking about
Nikola Jokic.
Thank you. Nikola Jokic. I'm bad with names. I'm bad. I know the players are, but I'm bad with names. I mean, this man will get 15 rebounds and score 40 points, but he's shooting a lot of threes. But once again, talking about a guy who's 7 feet tall. Okay? You cannot teach height and size. Can't teach it. So we'll see what the Knicks can do. I mean, Cat, right? He plays for the Knicks, right? He's another one. Isn't Cat, was it last year or the year before that man won the three-point shootout?
It might have been
the year before that.
A year before. Yeah.
But think about it. Who went into All-Star Weekend, looked at the lineup of the three-point shootout with probably Steph Curry and God knows who else in it, and said, yeah, I'm putting my money on Carl Anthony Towns, the center from the New York Knicks or Minnesota, whoever you played for at the time, okay? I'm putting my money on Carl Anthony Towns. And what did Carl Anthony Towns do? He won the three-point shootout at 6 feet, 11 inches tall. That's the game we play in. That I would like to see the Joker in the three-point shootout. I mean, I think he was the second tallest because Dirk won it at least once. And Dirk was a legitimate 7 foot and Cat's like 6'11". So I want to say that Carl Anthony Towns, Cat, was the second tallest participant to ever win the three-point shootout at All-Star Weekend after Dirk. Crazy. Crazy, crazy, crazy.
Just for the fun of it, because I brought up Muhammad Gay and his three-point shooting.
Mm-hmm.
Muhammad Gay has attempted 142 shots today. Guess are 142 shots this season.
This season.
How many of those are threes?
I would say 85 or more.
It's not that high, but 60. Almost half of his shots.
I thought it'd be like 60%.
That's crazy for a guy who only shoots 25% from the field, from a 3-point range. And half of his shots are threes. Quinn, I understand we want to let
the ball. But we knew what Muhammad Gay was when we signed him as a free agent. We knew what we were getting.
Change him. Do something, because I don't need to see him at the 3-point line anymore.
So it should be one of those things. No, you don't remember this. Remember when Josh Smith used to shoot threes and the whole crowd would go, absolutely. No!
I remember. No. Funny thing about that. I remember me and my dad, because we're Bulls fans, so whenever the Bulls were in town, we would go and we would try and see games and stuff. And I remember one of the nights we were there.
Time out with Eric Slaughter. You got about 2 minutes ago. You grew up in Atlanta, right?
For the most part, yeah.
You do have family from Chicago.
I'm from Chicago. I was born in Lake Forest Hospital. I'm from Waukegan.
My bad. Continue your story.
But
I just needed to know.
Yeah.
Steelers fan.
That's because my dad's family. My dad's side of the family, my grandmother and them, they're all from Pittsburgh. So that's where the Steeler fandom comes in.
Help him, Jesus. Help him.
But no, I remember you were talking about Josh Smith. I remember there was one night me and my dad went to go see a game and the Hawks had won. And I remember we were leaving and he was talking trash to some other Hawks fans. And he was like, yeah, we didn't pay Josh enough to shoot enough threes. We didn't pay him enough money to shoot more threes tonight.
Oh, because if he would have shot more threes, the Bulls would have won. Yes. I used to see, this is back when I had a different career, made a lot more money. Not as happy as I am now. I love being here. But I made more money. And I was a season ticket holder of the Hawks, courtside. Shows you how much money I was making back then.
Yeah.
Okay. I used to sit right next to Josh's mom every single game. And Miss Mary, that's her name, Mary Smith, we used to talk stuff all the time. And I would sit back and I'm like, can you please tell Josh not to shoot any threes tonight? He's like, you know we're going to do it. Why you ever said this?
Josh Smith was one of those players who was just a little bit before his time. Like, he missed out on that era of just like, hey, everybody shoot the three, positionless basketball.
So
it's
we don't
okay.
care?
Yeah. That, like, he missed it by like 6 or 7 years. I would love to see. Wouldn't have made his shot any better. Hey, listen. Maybe he has the confidence and he has a coach that's actually telling him to shoot it. Maybe he finds it. But it just would have been funny to see him. I feel like he really was a player who was just like a generation behind.
Thinking of that saying, and the final thought tonight, the two stars of that team, well, the three stars of that team were Joe Johnson, who just,
Joe.
Just had a big night for him. Josh Smith, remember who the third star of that team was? He's still playing in the NBA, and he's a true stretch 4 or 5.
You mean he's still playing in the NBA today?
Mm-hmm. And can shoot the 3 for a big man. Al Horford.
Al Horford, right?
Yeah. Yep, and Al could shoot the 3 and was hesitant
Where is Al right now? What team is he? He's not still in Boston, is he?
No, he is with either Golden State.
Golden State.
So, and still shooting the 3s at a very high percentage at 6'10". All right, that's my time. I got to get out of here. I am back tomorrow. I got a little short show tomorrow as we lead into our Hawks pregame coverage. Hawks will be in New York to take on the Knicks, the house that Trey built. Hopefully Trey will be in the lineup and can give you one of those magic garden moments, 55, something like that. So we'll see. I'll talk to you tomorrow. Dom, appreciate you. Appreciate everybody who called in for today's question of the day. And with 2026 here, hopefully not just one of our teams, hopefully a few of them, can have great years. Time out with Eric Slaughter is wrapping up. Appreciate everybody. We'll be back tomorrow.